Miss Mitzi Smith over here, she always will put up my slides and do that for me, and she does our social media, all that stuff, gets it out there and lets you know. And I gave her what I believe was going to be my next series, and this morning I couldn't go there. There was nothing in me that was going that direction. It was a good direction, but it wasn't the one that I should where I should be today. And so I want to ask you to go with me to Psalm 145. Psalm 145. And for the next few minutes this morning, I want to share with you from this passage. And I want to share on the subject of compassion. And I believe over the through this month of September, at least the 4 weeks of September, we'll deal with the subject of compassion. And with all of the events that we're actually what we've been centered around even today, there's a heart for which God would have us to work out of. And today's message is a heart for the hurting. A heart for the hurting. And would you just look with me at Psalm 145, verse 8 and 9. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. Now, would you read aloud with me? The New King James Version's on the screen. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. We live in a culture in which we can get compassion fatigue. We live in a day of social media. We have access to every news channel imaginable. There's program after program, infomercial after infomercial. Even when you factor in even those things that we see and hear that are things that are very good aspects of in terms of what we should be involved in, but nevertheless, we see famine, we see people hurting, and yes, we need to see that. You say, well, why do I need to see that? I'm just, if we never see or hear of the needs that are going on in the world, we will not know to respond. It's just a fact. We can easily be driven to a place of being fatigued by it, but we've got to guard against that. We've got to guard against that because just because there may be information overload regarding the needs of those today and that have experienced this hurricane and the effects of the tropical storm that followed and all of the rainfall and flooding, and we may turn to this channel and this one, the next one, and we then kind of just fall into a sense of being, it's just overwhelming, and what could you do? And now I'll turn the channel. But so we've got to guard our heart against there being a lack of compassion. And maybe even we can become apathetic because we see it so much that we can just dismiss it in our mind. We can even come to a place of ignoring what is before us. But I'm reminded of how God sees things in Exodus chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. God concerning Israel and them being in bondage in Egypt, he said, I have heard your cry. I have seen your affliction, and I will send a deliverer to you. And so it is. It's important that we hear. It's important that we see. It's important that we respond in some tangible way that we can respond in. And we may be overwhelmed. Yes, it may be beyond us in our capacity as an individual, but there is something we can do. There's some way that we can respond always, and I just want us to think about that this morning. When we look at this word that we've read from today in our text, we see the biblical foundation of this word compassion. And this is the biblical context of this message, that we have a God who is full of compassion. So if we serve a God who is full of compassion, then this is very important for us to hear, because we have an understanding of who He is. And if we have an understanding of who He is, then we need to align ourselves with how He thinks about things and how He acts upon things. And this said that He is a Lord that is gracious and full of compassion. And it's very easy to be sometimes gracious. It's easy to be sometimes compassionate. And then it says, slow to anger. It's easy to be quick to anger. And great in mercy, and we can be small in mercy. The Lord is good to all. It's easy to be good to some. And His tender mercies, it's easy to not be too tender, are over all His works, His tender mercies. But see, our foundation is the fact that God Himself is compassionate. Therefore, He has called upon us in that same regard to be compassionate people. Now, this word compassion in the original Greek language, it's a long word. There's no need for me to say it in the Greek. There's no need in it. I would mutilate it. I looked at it and I said, there's no way I'll pronounce that right, so forget it. But this word compassion speaks to a deep feeling, a deep sense of a need. In fact, the word really speaks to there being a knot in the pit of your stomach. A knot in the pit of the stomach. There's something that is way beyond the surface. Have you ever looked at a situation like that where it was just way beyond your ability to express with your tongue? But you looked at an individual, you looked at a situation, and there was just something down deep within you that just knotted up. You just had compassion on. And it may have surprised you. It may have been compassion about somebody that really what they did would tick you off ordinarily. And it may be ticking you off at the minute that they got themselves in that situation. But all of a sudden, in the midst even maybe of their stupidity, you had compassion. Something down deep within you just was there, and you knew it. You knew this. It was there. You see, compassion is something that really comes from God, in a sense. I would say this even to the person who does not know the Lord. When they have compassion, That is something that God put within them, but He would love for them in the context of Christ to use that compassion. I want to tell you, we look at this world, we look at agencies across the United States that are active in our in storms, active overseas and all that. And we see this activity that goes on, even from a secular viewpoint, maybe even from another religion even, but they're still there, that that comes from God that is down there. They may not understand it. They may not appreciate what it could be if it was in line with the will of God through Christ Jesus. But nevertheless, we must understand where this compassion comes from. And if we are have grown apathetic in terms of compassion, if we are have started ignoring that knot in your stomach, you see, that's a dangerous place to be. When we begin to ignore that, and we don't respond, and we just push it off, we set it aside. But how that's not God's plan. You see, the Lord wants us to have compassion. He wants us to be very attuned to the needs of other people and the hurts of other people, that we can mourn with people who are lonely, that we will cry with those who are shedding tears, that we would reach out to those who need a hand, that we would pray with those who have reached their end and they're needing to be pointed to God, and they've went everywhere except in His direction, and so prayer is needed in the midst of every situation, and but especially in the lives of hurting people. And so may compassion come forth from our lives, and may we understand really what it's all about in light of God. Now, Jesus, if you'll just flip with me to Matthew chapter 9, Jesus is one who is our supreme example in compassion. Matthew 9, look at 35. It says, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd." Jesus was like his father. Jesus had compassion. You and I need to be like our Heavenly Father with compassion. We need to emulate our elder brother, the Scripture speaks of, who is Jesus, also who is our Savior, also who is our Lord, also who is our King. We need to emulate Jesus with compassion, because He is the ultimate when we think of being compassionate. But we need to be conduits of compassion. And we need to become that. That we would really consider in our life. We'd say, "Lord, how can I be a conduit of compassion? How can I be a conduit of compassion?" And a few practical things I want us to consider. One is that compassion requires thought. It requires thought, and it requires action. Now, I was thinking about Wednesday night, this past Wednesday night, in our prayer, in part of our prayer at the end, we were praying about Hurricane Harvey and the victims. Not a long prayer, but nevertheless important prayer. And it was there, I already mentioned, Inman Floyd, something I never thought about. Inman Floyd walked down here after church. He said, I had an idea. What if our company brought a truck over here and we filled it up and made contact with another church in Houston and just filled it up and took that to them? Well, I hadn't thought of that. I've seen churches do that, but that's what other churches do, right? That's what other people have done, and I've taken things to where they've set up those. But I personally just have never thought about us having a truck out in the parking lot filling it up. You say, well, you should have thought of that, you, if you're a man of God. All right, woman of God. Okay? But he came down and he shared that. Now, I want to tell you, something leapt inside of me when he said that. And I said, this is what we need to do. But you see, it took thought. It then takes action. Because it wasn't going to be enough for me to say, hey, I think that's a great idea, and then just sit on it for a couple of days. There wasn't any time to waste. So immediately when I left church, I started calling Houston. I started calling Texas. Brother Jack started calling people that he knew, contacting people he knew, how we could get in contact with somebody on the ground. Because so the compassion required thought. It required ideas. It requires action. And let me just say to you, thinking is very spiritual. Thought is a very spiritual thing. Now, I want to just tell you that I believe God, and the thing about it is, God uses your thoughts. It's not just one-sided here. It doesn't just come from one sector of the church. You know, and certainly every thought that we have doesn't come to fruition. God has to confirm things and bring it about and cause things to be. I've had many, many thoughts that never came to fruition. But what we need to do is sensitive so that when a thought arises and when confirmation comes, that then we're taking the action necessary to make it happen. And so then it followed by making contact that was entered into Thursday, still trying to make those contacts. It wasn't happening it didn't all happen Wednesday night. It took Thursday calling. It was Friday before all of the contacts that were made, but we had to go ahead and begin looking into the truck coming and a sign being put up. Social media went out regarding it. We sent out a phone tree message yesterday and trying to pull everything together. And so what I want us to understand is that compassion requires thought, ideas, and activity. It will not. Compassion doesn't just happen with laziness. Michael W. Smith sung a song back in the good old days. You know when the good old days were? 80s. You see, it's all relative, y'all. People talk about good old days. I'm just here to tell you, good old days was 80s. He sung this song. He said, it isn't love until you give it away. Did you hear me? You can say you love, but it isn't love until you give it away. Love is not just saying you love. I'm thankful every time Sherry tells me she loves me, and I'm thankful every time that you speak a word of love to me. I appreciate that much. It means so much. But I want to tell you, love is how I treat you. And it really isn't love when we think about compassion. It really isn't love until we give it away. And when the hurting are hurting, we got to give love away to them. We got to give love away to people. We got to be more than just a bunch of talkers flapping our lips. But are we going to be who we claim to be? And I'm not just talking about the situation in the hurricane. I'm talking about the hurting all the time, everywhere, every day. I'm talking about us being compassionate people in our everyday activities, on your job, in your family, in the workplace, in our community, in our county, state, and nation, and around the world, that we live a life that's like God. That we be Christians. Isn't that a novel thought? That we actually be who we claim to be. Now let me say concerning compassion, practically speaking. Compassion is not just for professionals, it's for amateurs. In fact, the amateur, in a lot of ways, is preferred. You know what the Latin meaning behind the word amateur is? For love. You ever heard of maybe a sports player, somebody says, they may be a professional, and they say, I would do this for nothing. I'm just thankful I get to make a living doing it. Because I love this game, or I love what I do, or whatever. Because the amateur really doesn't make money doing it. They do it for love. I want to lift high all amateurs today. And to tell you, let's all be amateurs. See, a lot of times we think of amateur and we think, well, they're a little less. And so we love it when we watch the Masters and the amateur comes in and makes a big showing and he really does well. Because you know he's not doing it for money. Yeah, there may be future money probably involved in something like that. But my point being is the motive totally different. And because you call something amateur does not mean, just because they're an amateur does not mean that they're not awesome, that they're not great, that they're not wonderful. But that amateur is, I want us to understand, is really awesome. I want to tell you, what you do for the Lord that has nothing to do with compensation is the most beautiful thing that ever happens. So God's calling us today. He's calling us out. How are we going to respond? How are we going to respond? I think we, in our compassion, we need to be prayer, people of prayer. We want to be sensitive to the voice of God, and we want an empowerment that is beyond our maybe socially helping somebody, maybe materially helping some situation, which all of those are important. And I don't want to minimize that. In fact, I want to lift that up today, that there is a material responsibility if I have it. If there's a need and I have it to fulfill the need, do that. But I want to tell you, at the end of the day, if we don't have supernatural help from above, it'll always be lacking. And so we need to be people compassionately doing the work of God. But we need God and His supernatural help. And I want to tell you, that's going to come through prayer. It's going to come through seeking His face. It's going to come through searching our heart to make sure there'd be nothing in there that would be of wrong motive, any impure thing there, so that when we actually do the action of compassion, they can see Jesus and not us. There's all kind of ways to be compassionate. I was just thinking about, there was an Afghan girl who was injured, family destroyed in this most recent war times, and was there in a medical place where medical attention was being offered, and there was a nurse there, and they'd done everything medically they could do to console this child, to calm this child down. And then that nurse picked that little girl up and put that little girl in her lap and rocked her, they said, for about an hour. The girl had not been responding in a positive way at all. But now the girl started talking to him. The girl, little girl, began to smile. You see, it's going beyond. It's beyond the expectation. It's going away beyond. Heard the story of a older gentleman riding the public transit bus. And he had a bouquet of flowers on his lap going to his destination. And there was a little girl sitting in a seat across from him, and he noticed she kept looking at his flowers as they rode along. The bus got to stop. He stood up. He said, "I noticed you were looking at my flowers, that you like them." And she nodded, "Yes." He gave her the bouquet of flowers. He said, "I was taking those to my wife, but she'll be glad I gave them to you." And he walked off the bus down the drive of a little cemetery. May God move us to do the simple things and the big things with the compassion of a God who loves people more than anything, who is willing to die and so He did. Father, in the name of Jesus, if we're known for anything, may we be known as people of love, people of compassion. Lord, I pray that in the coming days we'll respond in those things that we know we can do the very best we possibly can. But I pray, God, that beyond the moment, beyond the event, beyond the opportunity, but that we would be people of greater love and more compassion to a world that's dying, a world that's lost, a world that's hurting. In the name of Jesus.